Good. All right, let's get started today. My name's Akeen. I'm a program manager at Microsoft, working on the System Center Operations Manager team. I've been there for almost 2 years now, and I've been working on Global Service Monitor. Hopefully, some of you have used that. And now I'm focusing on the fabric monitoring that we're going to be doing with Operations Manager.
Hi, everybody. My name is Laura Cruz. I'm also a program manager at System Center. I've been at Microsoft for about 4 years. I started in the IT department, and then about 2 years ago, I moved into Operations Manager. And there, I've been focusing mostly on setup and upgrade, and also update rollups, meaning any bugs that we fix after the product has actually released. And I'm also working on System Center Advisor.
Awesome. So let's get into it. Today, we're going to be giving you an overview of System Center Operations Manager 2012, a little bit of SP1, and we're really going to dive into what we're planning to offer in our 2012 R2 release. So when we launched Operations Manager as part of System Center 2012 about 2 years ago, we really aimed to reinvest in what we were building. We wanted to invest in some completely new areas and continue to improve the areas that we've kind of continually focused on. We wanted to invest in three main sort of pillars. And the first one is fabric monitoring. So that's really been our core competency and our bread and butter. And we wanted to make sure that we continue to give you deep and powerful insight to your virtual fabric and your physical infrastructure, and that's one of the areas that we wanted to focus on. Another one was not just application monitoring, but really enabling a full DevOps kind of ecosystem. We wanted to give you guys common tools, common artifacts, and really a common language that you could share with between your the operations managers who are maintaining an application and the developers who are working to create it. And another thing that we wanted to focus on was providing you really good visual experiences. We wanted to make sure that regardless of what persona you fit, whether you're the fabric admin or the application admin or the CIO, we wanted to give the relevant information to the relevant person regardless of who that was. So in System Center 2012, how we kind of did those three things, we started with the topology simplification. When it came to setting up and deploying your operations manager infrastructure, we wanted to make sure that that wasn't as big as a hassle as it used to be. We removed the root management server, and we've gotten some pretty good feedback on that, and so we kind of eliminated that single point of failure. Another thing that we introduced, which was a first for us, was .NET Application Performance Monitoring. And that gives you really good code-level insight to how your application is actually performing in production. We provided you with some accessible dashboards so that, like I said before, you can get a quick visualization that was relevant to your kind of persona. We had some scale improvements, which we were really happy about. We went from supporting about 10,000 servers to 15,000. And we also realized and recognized that your network infrastructure is just as important as the devices that are connected by them. So we added network monitoring right out of the box. You don't have to install any EMPs or set it up. And those are the kind of things that we really wanted to invest in System Center 2012. Before I move on, how many people have used Operations Manager here? Awesome. It's a good chunk of you. And of that group, how many of you are on System Center 2012? This is great. All right, so you guys are familiar with the console. And for those of you who haven't, we'll be showing off the console a little later, so you'll really be able to see exactly how things work. For SP1, we wanted to continue that momentum forward in those same kind of three pillars. We started with virtual fabric monitoring. We wanted to make sure that your virtual fabric was easy to monitor. We also wanted to start supporting storage so that not only is that are you getting insight to your machines, but also the storage on which it's built. And we also added some new support for Linux distros. One thing that I was fortunate enough to work on was that we showed off in SP1 was Global Service Monitor. And that really played into the DevOps ecosystem that we want to help support. So with Global Service Monitor, a developer using Visual Studio can now record and author a web test, push that web test to Operations Manager. The admin from Operations Manager can then take that, and once they set up their GSM subscription, can publish that web test to monitor your application from several points of presence around the world. I think we're above 15 right now, I believe, points of presence around the world that you can monitor your application from. And that kind of helps you, that helps us be the kind of virtual user. So you're running this test at, you know, some frequency, and you can run into any problems before the user does and react proactively. And then once you get any information down from our service, we can pull that into the Operations Manager console, and then you can decide, you know what the problem is, or if you need a developer to look at it, with our TFS integration, you can push that alert, per se, as a work item back into the development environment. And so that's kind of how we really wanted to tie in the full DevOps kind of scenarios. And we also added 360 dashboards, which are, it's a really good dashboard for viewing in one place the health of your application. And that lets you view how the app itself is doing. You can get some of our application performance monitoring insight, as well as understand how the physical devices that and components that that application is running on, what the health of those are as well. Today, we're going to really dive into what we're planning to offer with R2. We really wanted to focus on making sure that your cloud, whether it's a private cloud or a public cloud, is monitored deeply and in a way that is useful to you. So regardless of if you have your private cloud that you're monitoring with VMM or your public cloud in Azure, we wanted to make sure that even if you have a combination of that, you can see the health of the service that those maybe disparate resources make up, what the health of that service is in one kind of view. We also wanted to make sure that we continue investing in our management packs. I'll go into that a little bit later, but having best-in-class like workload monitoring is something that we want to continue to make sure we deliver to you guys. We took the learnings that we had from .NET APM, and we wanted to include Java in that as well. So that kind of code-level production insight that you get from .NET, we also support Java now. And we also have some improved dashboard performance. So if you're seeing any slowdown with your dashboards, we want to make sure that we minimize that as much as possible. And we also enhance our TFS integration as well. So now we're going to dive into what's new. Our biggest, one of our biggest investments is what we're going to do now with fabric monitoring. I'm going to show you guys a demo pretty soon, but the real crux of this is that whether you have a virtual environment or a private on-prem deployment, or you have some of your resources in Azure, we want to make sure that we can monitor both of those well. Just some housekeeping, we want to reiterate our support that when a new platform launches, such as Windows Server 2012 R2, We want to make sure that you know that we are committed to running on that new platform from day one, and then with that we also update our monitoring aspects so that any new capabilities that are surfaced with that new platform, we are monitoring and giving you insight to on day one. And so as we're synchronizing our schedule with the Windows Server 2012 R2 release, once you guys start to adopt Operations Manager with the R2 release, we have an MP ready for you guys so that you'll be able to start monitoring your new platform right when you start deploying. So with Fabric Monitoring, for the private cloud and your private cloud and your VMM setup, we wanted to really increase our integration with VMM. We wanted to make sure that not only can you get insight to the host machines and that you're running your virtual fabric on top of, but that if you're, say, a fabric admin and you want to make sure that your tenants are getting the usefulness that you're promising to them, you can have a view that kind of groups your resources into clouds. And so maybe a tenant is assigned one of these clouds, and you can see the health of that specific cloud and the underpinning, and in context, see what part of your physical infrastructure is underpinning that and what the health of those things are. So you're not just going to see all of your resources. You're going to see what's tailored to that specific cloud. But we also wanted to make sure that your fabric is monitored very well as well. So we monitor your storage, we monitor your network, we monitor the compute and the VMs that are running in your private cloud. And we updated the diagram view, so now our rollup can give you a very good view of that in a really quick way, so that you can pinpoint quickly where the problem is. So now I'm going to go into a fabric monitoring demo. So here is the Operations Manager console. Some of you said you've seen it before, but if you haven't, this is really the view you get into monitoring your enterprise infrastructure. As you can see here, we monitor workloads such as SQL Server. We manage monitor your VMM deployment. We can monitor the base OS, and even give you manageability into how Operations Manager is doing. And we even monitor non-Microsoft workloads such as Unix and Linux, and also give you insight to your applications. So this is what I was describing before, our updated diagram view for with the VMM MP. And so you see here is the root node and everything that kind of hangs off that. And so all of these components contribute to how your health rollup works. And so if you have one of your, so here we have four clouds. If one of those is unhealthy, this rolls up into how the health of your clouds are doing. And then that'll roll up into your managed resources all the way up to the top. And so you can get a quick top-down or bottom-up view of your private cloud. So now I'm going to switch into a new dashboard that we have with the updated VMMP. It's called the Cloud Health Dashboard. So here, so say you're a Fabric admin and you're responsible for providing SLA to your tenants. You want to make sure you know how their clouds are doing, and be able to quickly identify any problems that they may have. So this is what the cloud view now shows off. And so we can see here that Test Cloud 1 is not performing as healthy as we'd like. So what we can do is now dive into another new dashboard called the Fabric Health Dashboard. Let's give it a second to load up. So Here's another new dashboard that we're really excited about. We can quickly now give you insight to, in context, how the underpinnings of that specific cloud are doing. So as you saw before, we had four or five different clouds. What you're seeing here, though, is scoped to the cloud that we drilled down into. So these host machines, for example, are the ones that that cloud is consuming. And same with the storage pool. So we also target storage pools and tell you their health, and then show off how each of the individual components within those storage pools are doing. We source or surface all of the relevant alerts for that particular cloud as well. And you can dive into those and then go into alert view from here. And then we can also show off the network nodes because we understand and recognize that your network is just as important to monitor. So if I'm a Fabric admin, one thing I see here is that this network node is unhealthy. And that's contributing to the overall health or the lack of health for that cloud that I'm drilling into. And I want to make sure that my customers and tenants are satisfied. So I want to drill into this problem and root cause this. So from here, we made sure that all of the relevant tasks that could be associated with this particular view are surfaced here. So once I click on this network node, you see that we have the tasks here, and a useful one would be the network node dashboard or the network vicinity dashboard. I can drill into that once this loads up. And I can choose to show computers. And here I can see that now, because this is down, it's affecting the connection between these host machines and other network devices as well. And so this is just one example of how we can use this updated VMMP to go from the view of the health of one of your clouds, drill all the way down, and root cause the problem that you're seeing. Now I'm going to hand it over to Laura, who's going to talk. Actually, I still have a few slides. Another thing that we wanted to make sure that we continue to invest in for this release are management packs. We've heard feedback from the community, and we want to make sure that we continue to provide updates at a reasonable pace for these management packs. Since January 2012, we've created or updated 45 MPs, and we're really happy with that. But we're going to continue to invest in that. We have the Windows Azure management pack, which we have a preview live for that you can go and view. We've updated the DHCP management pack, and we're going to continue to invest in these kind of tier one and first class workloads so that you can continue to get best in class and best in breed monitoring for those workloads. We are also planning some updates around the sustained engineering process and working on some new authoring tools that we will be able to help have you use. And now I'm actually going to hand it off.
Thanks, Akin. All right. So one of the new features in Operations Manager 2012 R2 has a lot to do with System Center Advisor. So before I go into it, I'd like to know how many of you are using Advisor right now or have tried it? One person, two people, three people. All right, so since a lot of you don't know probably what Advisor is, I'm going to go into a couple of slides to explain what it's doing right now. Advisor is a standalone cloud service. It's running on Azure, and you can go right now and register. It's systemcenteradvisor.com, and it's absolutely free. And what Advisor does is it looks at your environment, and it looks at what workloads are running in your environment. Now, in the cloud, Advisor has many rules for all the workloads you see here: Link, SharePoint, SQL Server, Exchange Server, and Windows Server. These rules are created by the Microsoft support team, and the way that they decide what to put on Advisor is they look at what are the most frequent calls, literally, that they get from customers for the workloads that we support, And using the KB articles that they write every day, they create rules for Advisor. Now, once you've deployed Advisor to your environment, your configuration data will be uploaded to the cloud. Advisor is going to analyze it using the rules I mentioned earlier. And then it will answer back to you with best practices on your configuration. And you can see this in the Advisor portal in your internet browser. So that's Advisor today. So for example, say I'm a SQL Server admin and I have 150 servers and I deployed Advisor to my environment, but I forgot to back up one of my servers. Now, if I didn't have Advisor, I would probably find out when it's too late, when I need to restore my dead server and I have no backup. But if you have Advisor, Advisor will detect problems like that that you could easily solve by reading a KB article or just downloading a fix that's somewhere on the download center. And once it figures out that, hey, there's something missing in your configuration or you're doing this wrong, it will pop up an alert on the Advisor portal, and it will point you exactly to what KB article you need to read in order to fix your problem. And in doing that, Advisor will help you proactively avoid configuration problems, and it will help you reduce your downtime and improve your performance. If issues do happen, you will still have that information readily available, and it will apply to your environment's configuration. Now, what does that mean for Operations Manager 2012 R2? In this version, we're releasing Advisor as an attached service to SCOM, meaning that as soon as you install Operations Manager on your environment, you will have the capabilities of Advisor in your environment. We started by looking at the feedback that Advisor customers were giving us, and one of them was easy enablement. If you use Advisor right now, you'll have to install several things: a certificate, gateway setup, and agent setup for any machine that you want to monitor. Now, if you've installed Operations Manager, you're probably done installing things and you don't want another setup to run through. So we decided that was our priority. Make sure that users don't need to install anything else and they just need to sign into an Advisor account from their Operations Manager console. And you can also use your existing SCOM agents and management servers in R2 for the Advisor functionality. The other cool thing is you can see the Advisor alerts in the Operations Manager console, and they will work very similar to the way Operations Manager alerts work today. You can use notification on them, you can use ticketing integration, and you can use user role capabilities on the Advisor alerts in your Operations Manager console. Now, I'm going to go into a demo, but before that, I just want to mention a few points on data privacy, because you will be sending us your data, and it will be on the cloud. You can read the whole privacy statement on systemcenteradvisor.com, and it will be linked on this presentation. But a few key points. Advisor can only see the servers that you decide Advisor can see. The data that's uploaded to the cloud for analysis is also stored on-premise in your environment in case you want to check it yourself or in case you have an audit. And that data is uploaded every 12 hours, but you can also change that to be more frequent or less frequent. You can also close your account if you change your mind. We hope you don't. And request that your data be removed within 90 days. And finally, your organization is the only non-Microsoft organization that can see your data, and we're only going to use this data for analysis, not for sales or for licensing. Now, I'm going to go into an Advisor demo. So can you switch me to number 3? So... Oh, it needs me to log in. Yeah. Okay, so this is the Operations Manager console, and I just want to point you to where you need to look for the Advisor configuration. Basically, under Administration, you're now going to see the System Center Advisor node, and the first thing you need to do is just connect your management group to the Advisor service, and the way you do that is you use your Microsoft account, and if you don't have one, you can create one from the Operations Manager console, and you use your Advisor account. And again, if you don't have one, you can create one from the console. Now, once your management server is hooked up to the Advisor service, your management group is connected to the Advisor service, you're going to start picking which computers or computer groups you want to opt into Advisor. And that's what we meant when only the machines that you select will receive the Advisor analysis. So in my case, I have 3 machines that I've decided to opt in. In the same way that Operations Manager alerts show up, you're going to see advisor alerts under the monitoring pane, but they will be separated under the System Center advisor folder. And as you can see, I have three alerts here, two critical, telling me that my SQL Server configuration is not actually letting advisor run. So first things first, they will tell you what you need to do to get your configuration set. And the best thing is that for every alert that advisor shows you, there's a related KB article, and you can get to it from your console. So as you can see, I've selected this alert, and I have now a link to go see the solution or the KB article. And once I click it, it will go to the existing support Microsoft page with all the information that you need to do to solve your configuration problem. And we have one for every single advisor alert that shows up in your console. And this is all thanks to the work of our support team. So with that, I'm going to jump back in, and I'll give the floor back to Akeem.
Thank you, Laura. So the next thing we want to go into is the updated Windows Azure Management Pack. I'm really excited to talk about this. We're enabling some pretty awesome functionality here that lets you both monitor your resources in Windows Azure, but if you have part of the same service distributed between Azure and your on-premise, you can monitor those both via the distributed application template that we have. So we added some new monitoring capabilities based on customer feedback and updates to what Azure provides. And we also, like I just said, we want to go into some hybrid monitoring scenarios so that you can manage your services wherever they may reside. And we also included some new dashboards so you can more easily and better see your service health. One of the first things that we wanted to do was really simplify the configuration experience. So now it's dead simple to get up and running with this management pack. You download the MP, you import it, and after that, you put in your subscription information, and just like that, your Azure resources have been discovered. Then you can go and decide which one of those resources or which subset of those resources you want to monitor. We've added support for cloud services, VMs, and storage accounts, and some key performance indices from those. So you'll be getting insight to how these three components are working. And we also wanted to make sure that you know proactively when your certificate may be expiring, and so we'll alert you of that before it happens, and you don't have to worry about any downtime that might occur with relation to certs being expired. And then we also have worked on the distributed application template. So this is something I wanted to harp on because, say, I'm an admin for my application, and I have my database is on-premise, but I want to take advantage of some of the elastic compute that Azure has. Now I don't have to decide, you know, I'm just going to monitor the compute in Azure and just monitor the DBs on-prem and not have a view into how the actual service itself is doing. With the distributed application template and the updates we've done to the Azure MP, you can now see that all together. You can pick and choose which components make up the service, and then you can view the health of that entire service as one. And we also added some new monitoring dashboards and views. Now I'm going to dive into a demo to show off some of the things that we've done with the Azure Management Pack. So once you've downloaded the Management Pack, we pop you right into this. You go to the administration pane, and there's a new node for Windows Azure. Here I've already added a subscription, but you can add multiple subscriptions. So you're not limited to just picking one subscription that you have or trying to move things around in Azure so you can view everything that you want to. You, as many subscriptions as you want, you just go in here. I'll show you the add subscription template. You put in the description, cert file, and a password, and right after that, your Azure resources have been discovered. So once you've done that, we can pop up into the monitoring pane. Let's go to Windows Azure. Sorry. So here are our discovered cloud services. So this is before we decided what we want to monitor. So these are all of the resources the cloud services say I have in my Azure subscription. We have the same for storage and the same for the virtual machines as well. Another thing that I really want to show off is the topology dashboard. So let's give it a second to load. But with this view, we've automatically discovered all of your Azure services and how they're connected. So you don't have to go in and say this Azure service is talking to this guy in this direction. This is automatically done by the MP. And if you can also tailor that or scope that to whether it's in production or staging, that's something that we're really, really happy about. So let's go to production and kind of drill into one of these services. So we've selected this one service, and we want to see how it's doing. We've created the service vicinity dashboard, so you can drill into this one service and see its relationship with others and what the health of those connections are. So now we've selected the service topology dashboard. And it's going to load. Show it one more time, sorry. There we go. So we can drill down into this one service and see a list of the connections and their directions. So you know what endpoints that this service or this cloud service is connected to, how they're doing, and the direction of those. You don't have to input those anywhere. This MP automatically discovers those connections and lets you know how those are going. With absolutely no setup or configuration. And so this is just a little bit of what the Azure MP can do, but we're also planning to update this and include new things. That's going to be coming later this year, but you can go and try out this preview. Right now it's on the Download Center. Just search for the Windows Azure MP preview, and you can get this up and running today with little to no effort. With that, let me go back to Laura, who's going to talk to you a little bit about our DevOps investments.
Thank you. Actually, one note before I talk about DevOps. The Advisor Connector that I talked about earlier is releasing with 2012 R2, but there is a preview out right now that runs on Operations Manager 2012 SP1. So you can actually go to the Download Center right now and search for the Advisor Connector. And if you have Operations Manager 2012 SP1 with Update Rollup 3, you can try it out. So let's talk about DevOps. Now, you might hear a lot about DevOps during TechEd, and it's because DevOps is a very important ecosystem that we need to learn about and understand the challenges of. DevOps is not a role. It's not the job of just one person. It's the ecosystem where your development team works together with your operations team to make sure that an application is up and running and it can be accessed by users. Now, the key to running a successful DevOps ecosystem is understanding what are the challenges and how do you address those challenges. And I'd just like to take you quickly over what those are and what we'll do about them. So the first problem is, these two teams are usually isolated. they will use different tools, they will talk a different language, and they will have different priorities. So it's that being in silos that starts our challenges. The next problem is when an issue happens in production, it will usually be operations that finds about it first because they're the ones that are going to get called at 3 a.m. in the morning by a very angry user. But with that comes another challenge. Production issues are very hard to debug. You don't want to mess around with your production environment. You don't want to touch it. And you might not even have the right tools to debug that problem. But the information in the production environment is very, very important. We continue with our challenges. Once the issue actually makes it to the development team, dev is going to need a lot of data to figure out exactly what the where the problem is and what the fix is. They're going to need repro steps. They're going to need stack traces. They're going to need an environment, but they can't touch production, maybe. So that's a big challenge that the development team sees. And even when they get all the information they need, they're not going to be able to repro it in their dev environment. That's why they didn't see that bug in the first place. And all this time, you have a problem in production, you have a very unhappy user, and the ops team is not meeting their SLA. So that's why we note that when we don't address the problems in the DevOps, world, your MTTR, your mean time to resolution, is going to go through the roof, unless you know how to address these problems. And the last challenge that we see is that even after dev and ops have worked together, deployment might take a while, and deployment might fail. And there are so many different flavors of deployment over an organization or even a team that it's hard to stay with a standard. So how do we address those challenges? Here comes 360 application monitoring. And really what we want to know is that at the center of it all is your application. Is the application performing? Is it reliable? And is it available for your users? And what you can do is use a set of components to keep you covered in all the different bases. You use Operations Manager, so you know that your application will be feeding performance, reliability, and availability information. And if Operations Manager detects that something's wrong, it's going to pop up an alert. But now we have a TFS connector, Team Foundation Server connector. And what you can do is you can use the same alerts that your operations team will see in the Operations Manager console. You can reroute to Visual Studio through TFS and show them to your development team so they have the exact context that they need in order to fix a problem that was seen in production. We also have IntelliTrace stack tracing, which provides an even deeper view into the code, and it pinpoints exactly where a specific problem came from. We also have GSM on the top right corner, my right. And what GSM will do, like Akeen mentioned, is it will simulate a user. And it will tell you, hopefully before the user ever finds out, if there's a problem. It will send synthetic transactions from different points all over the world, and these alerts will be picked up by Operations Manager, and if you have the right setup, once again, route it to your developers. So you have your development team and your operation team using a common set of tools, talking the same language and all with the same context. So that's how we will address the different challenges that we see in DevOps. And to show you, I'm going to go into a DevOps demo. Okay. So I'm going to put on my operations hat and on. And this is dinner now. It's a sample application that I have. And users go to it every day to figure out what they're going to have for dinner. So I'm just going to pop in a zip code and search for American breakfast. And I click find. It's taking a while. And your user is growing impatient. And ops is already getting calls about mad users that just want to figure out what to have for dinner, even though they're searching for American breakfast for some reason. Okay, and finally, okay, well, your user has three options, and they're feeling like going to Northwind Bar and Grill. And that's great. You can have pear brand muffins for just $10. So that's dinner now. Now you have that context. So let me go to the Operations Manager console, where I have my application view. Now I have two different applications, dinner now and Tailspin Toys. Tailspin Toys is actually doing pretty great. It has availability. It has performance, but it looks like it's not a very reliable application. So I'm going to have to look into that later. But what I want to do today is figure out what is wrong with DinnerNow's performance. So I can see that, yep, clearly there is a problem. My performance here is not meeting my SLA. And I want to see what piece of my code caused this. I'm operations right now. And I just know that my application's down, that I have an angry user on the phone that wants to eat, and I need to call dev right now to figure out what they're going to do to fix it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go see my alerts in Operations Manager for my DinnerNow application. And as I can see, there are a lot of different performance exceptions happening for DinnerNow. And I found one particular one with the search, which is exactly what my customer described. I should also look at the other exceptions, but today I'm going to focus on what happened here with my search page exception. And just like not always in Operations Manager, I will get the detailed information for my alert, but I'm going to go further into my alert description. Let me click my link here. And open up a more detailed view of what were the calls made when that exception was thrown. So here I have a deeper view into that particular performance event. And what I'm going to look at is where was the time during that call spent? Now, I can see the network request was short enough, but clearly something is up with the server response time. It's taking 96% of the time of my call. So I'm going to go and look into that deeper because I really need to tell dev exactly where it is, because if I don't tell them exactly where it is, they're not going to fix it. Okay, so going deeper, I'm going to look into what call was made from search. I can see that it was trying to get restaurants and it was trying to get menu types. And highlighted in red is get menu types. So it looks like something is wrong when I'm trying to get the menus available for my particular cuisine. So going further in for that particular performance exception, I'm waiting for a response from my demo machine. And it looks like that one expired, but I'm just opening a similar event. And this is the detailed stack trace for that performance event. And going deeper into this WCF call, I can see exactly how much time was spent in each call. And at the bottom of it, I can see that this is the culprit. This particular SQL query is the one that is causing the hang-up in the first place. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this. I'm going to email it to dev as proof. This is what's slowing down the page. Please fix this right now. There's an angry user harassing me. So as you can see, this is how we're trying to bridge that gap between dev and ops. We're giving them common tools, common language, and most of all, the detailed information that each one of them needs to solve the problems. So I have more to talk about DevOps, so I'm going to jump back to the presentation. So like Akeen mentioned, we've made a lot of investments in .NET application performance monitoring, but now we're also going into Java application performance monitoring. And what we're doing is very similar to what we already do with .NET. We're providing performance and exception events in the SCUM application advisor. And for performance events, we're giving you, again, detailed method and resource timing. For exception events, we're giving you detailed stack traces. And we're also including Java-specific counters in the OM application advisor. We're also giving you same operations manager level alerting for your Java applications, and you can see the counters that we've included for Java. We've also added support for more new configurations. We're now supporting 3 versions of Tomcat for Windows and Linux, 2 versions of the Java Development Kit, and 4 web technologies. Now, just to show you what we're doing with Java APM, I'm just going to show you a preview of what it's looking like right now. And what you see here is basically a subset of the same application performance monitoring reports now applied to your Java application. And what I'm showing you now is your exception analysis, your failure analysis. And what we include is your failure breakdown by application functionality, as well as failure breakdown by resources. We're also, in a similar fashion, showing you detailed analysis for your Java performance problems, your top 5 most frequent performance violations, your performance problem breakdown by heavy resources, and your 5 slowest requests. Now, this is the operations manager level alerting that I talked about, and you'll see this for all your performance and exception events for your Java or .NET applications. And going deeper into those, like you saw earlier, this is, oh, I did not want to end the show. This is the detailed stack tracing that we're going to show you, again, pinpointing exactly what are the calls that are causing your exceptions. And like you saw earlier, we're also showing you detailed method and resource timing for your Java applications. And finally, here's where we're including your Java calendar, such as JVM memory, in our reporting. Before I go into this, I forgot to say one thing about Advisor. Sorry about that. Did I say that, actually, that SP1? I did say that. It's shipping on SP1. I did, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind here. So that's actually the end of the content. There will be a detailed GSM talk tomorrow at, I believe it's 3. Akin will also be talking about how to monitor your Microsoft Private Cloud Fabric. And you can actually find us at the Modern Data Center application monitoring booth on Thursday. So we'll take questions if you have any, and we'll be here on the desk if you need anything. Thank you, guys.